Well, good evening. Goeienaand. It's great to have you here, guys. And you're all here by choice so that I can speak on my favorite subject. I spoke on my second favorite subject yesterday to an Afrikaans audience about alcohol. And I had to convince the school board that they are allowed alcohol at one of the events. And I hate alcohol. And but I'm more committed to the Bible than I am to my experience. And so I don't hate talking about finances, but we have to. And somebody said to me, don't worry, Rory, when the building starts going up, the way Afrikaans people work is they're just going to start pouring the money in. Well, he's lying. So I just want to say to you, Pitt, as an elder of this church, that's your first warning. That's your first warning. That's your first warning. If you lie again, it's your second warning. So Pitt lied to me. So I just want to forgive him publicly and say, actually, the building is going extremely well and the money is going extremely slowly. But we don't build by sight, we build by faith. And it's incredibly exciting. So what I'm going to do tonight is, this is the prayer list I put together for myself through this building project. It takes about 45 minutes a day, and I pray it every day, and I thought the best thing I can do is to preach from my prayers. And I don't go to bed at night until I've said these prayers. And so we're going to preach from them tonight. We know some of the stuff is Old Testament. I believe everything is rooted in Christ. Everything is about Jesus. And I do not believe that it's a financial exercise we are undertaking. I believe it's an exercise of priority. We are involved in a vision casting scenario. I met a lady on Sunday night. I introduced myself. I said, where do you come from? She said, ek kom van die Dopperkerk af. On Sunday nights is the closest I've ever seen to a revival in a church. Sorry for those who missed it. Carte Blanche, I hope, was really exciting. But we had a joy. If you brought your parents here, they will move you. They'll take you out of Tickies and put you in UCT. They will convince it's a cult. But we had an outpouring of the power of God that I've not seen for... let's give God a major hand. But my absolute highlight was to see this prim and proper, I don't even know if you're here, beautifully dressed lady walk to the front, right to the front, and stand there and said, I want a bucket of water over me. And when I saw that, I realized, we are building a church. You're here? Yes, you're here. How amazing. Yes. So are we building the church? That's how we're building the church. And I went home on Sunday night, I thought, oh God. Imagine if we'd not built this church. Who would that lady be? Her husband did call me a bloody Engelsman. You're a bloody Engelsman. Money worry nie. Ek het 'n emmer vir jou volgende week, my maat. Daar's meer emmers wat daai een vandaan kom. But friends, there is, from here to the back is 60 meters. In the new building, from the front to the very end seat is 37 meters. And it's going to be occupied by broken people and religious people and people who have had bad experiences with the church. It's going to be occupied by all those kinds of people. And they're going to be 37 meters away. And wherever you stand in that auditorium, they're going to see somebody worshiping. And when I look at the book of Acts, as the church gets built in Acts chapter 2, the first miracle that takes place in Acts chapter 3, it says there was a crippled man. They made him strong. They made him walk. They made him completely whole. We are not investing in brick and mortar. We are investing in an opportunity for crippled people to be made strong, for crippled people to start walking, and for crippled people to be made completely whole. Spiritually, financially, physically, sexually, emotionally, psychologically, in every single way, we are investing in that and that alone. We're investing in opportunities for people to meet with God. Take your eyes off the finances. It is not a financial project. It is a spiritual project for people to meet with Jesus. And somebody's just been to the Bill Johnson conference, and I think he's the most amazing, humble, remarkable man. And somebody said, this is what he believes you should build the church on. And I said, that's really amazing. And he must preach that out of the bottom of his heart in Bethel and build the church. But this is what God told me to do. Show them the Father, and that will be enough. And that's how we're building the church. We are building a platform where men and women can see what God is like through His Son, Jesus Christ, made real by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that will set them up for anything that they have to do in life. And so we got to keep preaching the vision. God is just going to give us a platform to preach it from. The fact that it's air conditioned is just the blessing of God. Amen? And so please turn with me, friends, to one of the great stories of building in 1 Chronicles 29. It will come up on the board. And it says this, then King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. Say young and inexperienced. God sent a 50-year-old Durban guy to Pretoria with a set of elders that are old and have been through a few wars because God wants to build a church for a group of people that are young and inexperienced. And we are going to invest in the next generation. I'm not building this church for myself. We are building it for people who don't right now have the tools in order to raise the money and get a platform going so that we can preach the gospel. And so this is the in the very first statement, he's saying, we are doing something on behalf of somebody else. I don't know how long we'll enjoy this building. But right now, we are preparing for the young and inexperienced people so that they can have a worship experience and encounter God and be completely set free like that Dopper lady on Sunday night. Amen? And so just keep thinking, it's not for me. It's for somebody else. I'm sacrificing for somebody else. And I want to tell you, friends, I want to say thank you to every person for every cent that we have raised 35 million rand on one talk in February last year. We've raised 35 million. We need to raise 25 million rand more. But this will be the last talk on finances. We won't talk about it again. We have to get before God. We have to ask Him what our contribution is. And we have to finish this project by faith. Amen? And so we won't talk about it again. I won't talk about alcohol again and about my dad particularly being alcohol. I felt God say, I had this talk lined up, you don't talk about it again. This will be the last time we talk about the financial project. All we're going to talk about from now on is the vision God has given us to change people's lives. Amen? My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great. Say the task is great. Because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. The task is great. While everybody is shutting down, while coronavirus is hitting the world, while Sasol has lost 95% of its value, while the stock markets are crashing, the task is great. But this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God, capital L-O-R-D, the spacious and good God flowing with milk and honey. This is an opportunity for the good God, the spacious God, the flowing God, for every person who's got stagnant in their marriage to come into a building and to unstagnate themselves. Flowing in milk, people who are living unsustainable lives in milk and honey, in sweetness, to come and encounter that God. We are doing it for the Lord, not for ourselves. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood. As well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures. And thank you, every one of you who has given your personal treasures, rings, watches, all sorts of things, of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I provided for this holy temple 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? Question. You wouldn't be here today if you are not willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord. You wouldn't be sitting here. This is what it says in 2 Chronicles 31. If you can put it up, please, Ricky. 2 Chronicles 31. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generally gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They bought a great amount, a tithe of everything. The men of Israel and Judah who lived in the towns of Judah also bought a tithe of their herds and flocks and a tithe of the holy things. Say holy things. Who will consecrate themselves today to the Lord? Dedicated to their Lord their God, and they piled them in heaps. Say heaps. They began doing this in the third month and finished in the seventh month. March, April, May, June, July. I ask you a simple question. Are you prepared to consecrate yourself to the Lord financially for 5 months? Remember, it's willing, eh? You don't have to. It's willing. But we're busy with a great task. But it's not for us. It's for the Lord God. But we need to consecrate ourselves. That means to take ourselves out of the world and operate with a completely different system for 5 months. That means completely reprioritize our lives for 5 months. For some of you, all you have to do is tithe. Just for 5 months. If you've never tithed before, just tithe for 5 months. And I believe God wrote this scripture thousands of years ago so that he could speak to 3CR at this time and say, are you prepared to consecrate yourself? Just you who are here. Obviously, some didn't want to be here, but that's fine because it's always been willing and cheerful and it's always been willing. Will you consecrate yourself just for 5 months? Then the leaders of the families. Who will consecrate yourself today to the Lord? Consecrate himself. Not consecrate by Rory's preaching. Not consecrate by Rory's charisma. Not consecrate yourself by anything other than by yourself. Consecrate yourself. Then the leaders of families. Thank you, Andy, that you were prepared to leave your family, to go to Hong Kong, to get a job in Hong Kong, take your leave and give up your family time and go and work in Hong Kong so that you could consecrate yourself for this building fund. Thank you for that. The coronavirus stopped that. But that's the leaders that we are working with. That's the kind of people that we are surrounded by. Thank you, Stephen and Kathy. Thank you, Pete and Amarinda. Thank you, Matt and Jess. Thank every one of you for consecrating yourselves and sacrificing. You can't raise 35 million rand unless everybody is digging very deep into their pockets. And this is holy ground that we're standing on. We will not manipulate people. We will live in a joyful, joyful season of gratitude and expectation as leaders and then people consecrate themselves to Jesus. Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. Say willingly. I want to tell you, I have not given 1 cent unwillingly to this project. Not 1 cent. I do not feel in any way manipulated. I am unbelievably grateful. I do not feel I've sacrificed in the slightest. And in the total surrender, I have found a blessedness that I've never, ever seen in my life. They gave towards the work of the temple of the God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Any who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehuel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders. I play this as a very happy church because we've got an unbelievable leadership team. Got here early to welcome everybody, set up the fruit and we've just got a leadership team that gives and loves and serves and prays. There's a team led by Ron and Sue every Friday morning with Robert Owen and Gary Gosling and all of their families come and pray for the building week after week after week after week. They're 50 weeks into praying now, every single week, that God would come through for us. for they had given freely and wholeheartedly. Say wholeheartedly. To the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David prays the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. In your hand are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Are you completely convinced of that, 3CI? Because I believe we will only get about 3 or 4 opportunities in our Christian life on earth where God will give us an opportunity to prioritize our time, our talents, our money, our resources, and our opportunities. Only 4 or 5 times in our life. This is one of them. This is not a financial project. This is a priority project where God is saying, do I own it or do you actually own it? Who's in charge around here? Who owns your money? Are you getting up every week, Rory, and telling people how much you sacrifice? That's not yours, son. That's mine. This is just a project where you're actually putting me back in charge as king of your finances. And he can't stop worshiping. It's like, yours is the greatness, yours is the power, yours is the majesty. He's getting himself completely out of the way. Nobody will be worshipped in this project, friends. And I've said this, if you haven't heard it before, even on the opening Sunday, we will not have anybody on stage, but that the author of this project will not be known, but the subject, who is Jesus, will be glorified from our very first service. And you will come here on Sundays and you will not know who is preaching, but I want to tell you, you will know what they're preaching about. They will be preaching about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. So he's in the middle of this extravagant outpouring of money that has come from the leaders in a willing way. He's rejoicing. And then he says this, "We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as we're all our fathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope." It's like he goes from this incredible high, just like, it's like we've got no hope. It's like, all my shares were in Sasol. I've only ever owned one share in my life, Sasol. My dad said to me, "Do you want a 21st birthday? Do you want Sasol shares?" I said, "Sasol shares." So I've had them since my 21st birthday. Hey, check the Sasol shares. Me too. You too. Sorry, brother. So in the midst of this unbelievable joy of this building project going up, he's saying, but there's no hope around. This is what Timothy says. Timothy, command those who are rich. Say command. When I tell you, friends, I have cried in my car on this scripture. I have sat in my car and wept. I said, God, I cannot stand up and command, not suggest to the rich people. It didn't say get up in the church and suggest to the rich people that they must be generous. It says command the rich people. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope. What did David say? There's no hope. Nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Sasol's gone. Amazon's going to tank one of these days. Read Revelation. Amazon will tank in 1 hour, Revelation says. Which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Can you drive a Ferrari? Of course you can. And some of you have got a gift of being rich. You can drive Ferraris. You can have beach houses. You can upgrade your cars. You can live in the best estate because God actually wants you to enjoy his blessing. There's nothing wrong with it. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. You know what I've realized? The church is built by faithful people, not by rich people. Because rich people still think they own their money. Doesn't belong to you, sir. It belongs to God. And this is just an opportunity to reprioritize your life. I would love to suggest to you to be generous. But I'm going to say to you tonight, I command you to be generous. I command you. I command you, stingy man, be generous. I command you, man who trusts in the stock market, be generous. I command you, man who trusts in your education, to be generous. I command you to be rich in all things. Will you be able to enjoy God? Absolutely. Can you drive a Ferrari? Yes. But now's the time to reprioritize, to consecrate yourself for 5 months to the purposes of God. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. And then he just goes back. Oh Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand. And all of it belongs to you. Who must we say thank you to, God? Well, just say thank you to me. It comes from me. I know, my God, that you test the heart and you're pleased with integrity. I've never ever worked with men like this in my life before, and women, where what they say in the pulpit is how they live in private lives. And I hope, and my friends can correct me if not, I hope everything that I've said from the pulpit they can see enacted in my family. My children are standing here. I pray that if anything that I say is not true, that they would test me on that. But I know from the bottom of my heart, as best as I can, I've lived and led this building project with integrity. All these things have I given willingly and with honest intent. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. One of the greatest sounds I have in the local church is the sounds of coins falling into a tin. Because the Bible says, when Jesus gives a parable, he says, there was a widow who gave just 2 mites. Because her coins were more than a millionaire signing a big check. And every time I hear coins drop, I know somebody's paying a price. And I want to say thank you for that. Not only have the leaders responded, there are some people that are sitting here that are living in small granny flats, highly educated, directors of companies that have chosen to live. They don't know, that they didn't tell me this, I just heard. They have chosen to live in a small granny flat until the building project is over. Thank you for that. I know people that have taken on waitressing jobs and babysitting jobs, so they can put brick and mortar into the next generation. Thank you for that. Not 1 ounce of it is not appreciated as we go on this great adventure together. God knows, God sees, we leave it with Him. You know what it says? In Luke 16, it's a very complicated parable about the dishonest manager who lets people off the hook. And then the Bible says, the ways of the world, these guys in the world have the better understanding of dealing with their future than you guys do. Because he was paying forward so they'd have a better future. I want to tell you this, no prayer ever prayed is spent in vain, and no cent ever sowed into the kingdom of God is sown in vain. You will reap a reward if it's not yet, will be there. But God will keep the accounts. And now I've seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. If I can just quickly, and we finished, look at Genesis chapter 14. Say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever. Okay, let's say it with faith. That was like bad. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. So you say to me, Rory, you're reading an Old Testament scripture about a building project. Let's look at Genesis chapter 14. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine. Say bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Friends, I don't want to, some people have joined since the 10th. Capital G, capital M, capital H. God Most High. So there is a Dopa lady sitting in these pews who has grown up in a religiously conservative society. She is dressed beautifully. She is a classy woman. And she sees God moving. And she chooses in front of a group of young people to give God the capital G, the capital M, and the capital H. And she says, I don't care what any of you are thinking. I'm going to give God his rightful place in my life. I'm going to stand up here and lose my reputation, but God is going to be in charge of my life. Amen? Amen. And we are building a building so that people can give God the authority that he rightfully deserves in their lives. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham saying, blessed be Abraham by capital G, capital M, capital H, creator. And sorry for repeating, that word means possessor or owner of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. He didn't take up an offering. He didn't stand on the stage. He didn't have veins popping out of his neck. He just broke bread and wine. He put God in his rightful place, and he told Abraham that God actually owns it. And Abraham gave him a tenth. We don't have to manipulate a cent out of people. We just have to show them the God of Abraham, the God of bread and wine, the God of Isaac. There was a lamb on top of the hill. He took his son off and he put the lamb on, and it says on top of the hill, it'll be called Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. The God of the lamb. And with Jacob, there was a ladder that linked heaven and earth. And Jesus says in John chapter 1, I'm the ladder that links heaven and earth. And this is the prayer David prayed. God of Abraham, the God of bread and wine. God of Isaac, the God of the lamb. God of Jacob, the God who links heaven and earth. Please keep this desire of generosity in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you forever. This is how we give, friends. Willingly. Say willingly.
Willingly.
Cheerfully.
Cheerfully.
Sacrificially.
Sacrificially.
It's going to cost us something. And wholeheartedly. This is a very simple question I believe we need to be asked today. Who is prepared to consecrate themselves? We're talking about financially now. Who is prepared to consecrate themselves to God? March, April, May, June, July. Willingly, cheerfully, sacrificially, wholeheartedly. God bless you. Can we do a really silly thing and take our shoes off? Can we stand? Somebody said this to me, when Jesus speaks about money, he sets people free. When the church speaks about money, he binds people up. I pray tonight you've been set free.
Yes.
I pray you've been completely set free.
Yes.
But we're busy with a great task. We're busy with a great task. Every cent that's gone in is holy money. It's money that you have consecrated to God. And I want to say thank you for the sacrifice you've made, Tricia. I'm very humbled. I'm very grateful. But we're not done yet. We're nearly done. 4 or 5 months, we'll be done. Heavenly Father, I pray that our meetings will always be holy meetings. That your Spirit would move on dopper ladies, on broken marriages, on broken sexuality, on bankrupt emotions, on young people, Lord God, like those on Sunday night who got filled with the Spirit for the first time, and on Tani Ansu, who at 75 just forgives instantly. You know, Tani Ansu phoned and said, "My TV's not working." I said, "Don't worry, Tani Ansu. We'll send some people to fix it. We are going to build this church brick by brick, TV by TV, old person by old person, young person by young person." Who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Who is willing to consecrate themselves? I say, I am willing, Lord God. As my hand, it said in Genesis, Abraham said, "I have raised my right hand to God Most High." I say, here's my hands, God. As my family's hands, Lord, Melanie, Mitchell, Nasia, Thomas, and James. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And now finally I pray that every man and woman and child will walk out of this auditorium completely free. Completely free. Completely free. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, guys. Let's give the Lord a hand.